And now I have the pleasure of introducing Brother Brian Lee on his talk in regards to responsibility.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Responsibility speaks of those individuals who have a knowledge of Yahweh and His will and are accountable to the judgment seat of Christ. The deity has been calling out a people for His name through the gospel, and those who hear and understand are responsible to obey it and will be judged accordingly whether they are baptized or not. The subject of responsibility is important and is vital to a correct and proper understanding of divine truth. Not all Christadelphians understand the subject correctly. They believe that it is baptism that makes men responsible and not knowledge. Therefore, it is critical to have a correct understanding of the subject of responsibility. Brother Grocott in Knowledge is the Basis of Resurrectional Responsibility says, and I quote, "Our consideration is the resurrection and judgment of the dead at the return of Christ to the earth, with a special reference to the fact that it is knowledge of God and of His will that will determine who will be called forth from the grave to that dreadful day of account. For those who have submitted to God's commands, does this point about knowledge being the ground of resurrectional responsibility really matter? Is it essential we understand and believe it? Yes, very much. A false foundation will affect all our thinking and our faithful teaching of others. Wrong views on this matter are disastrous, for they create a false and presumptuous idea of self and of God. They teach a man that he can decide for himself whether or not he will be called to Christ's judgment seat. They blur and obscure the great basic fact of God's supreme authority to command and man's inescapable responsibility to obey." End of quote. We know that knowledge is light, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, of Jesus Christ." And let's also look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30." And also, let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Responsibility to God is created by contact with divine law. Light and knowledge of God and of His will are the basis of accountability at the judgment seat. All who are responsible will be resurrected to appear before Christ in that great day of judgment. And let's turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and the thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And let's also look at John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. A person who understands the will of God has a responsibility to perform it, on pain of condemnation if he does not. And let's just turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And they read, And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Brother Thomas says in Anastasis, and I quote, He that understands the truth but declines the obedience it commands will be held accountable for its rejection. For he that believeth not shall be condemned in a day of judgment, when the deity shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel Paul preached. End of quote. The mission of Yeshua was to take out of the world a faithful class of people. And let's just turn to 1 Titus chapter 2. 1 Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The method was the preaching of the gospel. A person who hears the gospel has no option but to obey it. Therefore, Yahweh counts those who have come to an understanding and knowledge of the gospel as responsible to obey and accountable to judgment. And let's just consider some more verses. Let's look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 24 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, 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 I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. Also, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, And we just considered this, but we'll read it again. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And also let's consider James chapter 4. Verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And also 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And just a few more in John. Let's look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 48. And that reads, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And let's flip on over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 41. Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. And just one last one, John chapter 15, verse 22. John chapter 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Brother Thomas says in Anastasis, and I quote, Nevertheless, if a sinner come to an understanding of the truth, the result being the same, he is held accountable. An enlightened sinner cannot evade the consequences of his illumination. I have known some of this class flatter themselves that they would not be called forth to judgment, but would perish as the beasts, if they did not come under the law of Christ. Such reasoning, however, is simply the deceitfulness of sin. This evidently teaches their anastasis chrysios, or coming forth from Sheol, for judicial condemnation and punishment, contemporary with the establishment of the kingdom in the Holy Land. Just as light brings responsibility, the absence of light when men are ignorant does not bring responsibility to the deity. The majority of mankind is without light and are not responsible. They are without light and law. And let's look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. And also let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And then John chapter 3, verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Most of the world is ignorant of God and without hope. They live their lives and then pass away forever. They die and will never live again. And let's look at a few verses in response to this. First one, Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verses 18 through 20. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. And let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 14. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. And let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 57. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is Yahweh of armies. And again, Psalm chapter 88. Psalm 88, verse 5. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. And then one more, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. This ignorant class of men will not appear before Christ, because they lack the knowledge of God and what He requires, and are doomed to the grave forever. In Anastasis, Brother Thomas writes, thus they were under times of ignorance when Paul appeared in their midst. They were not liable to be called upon to give an account for not doing what they were helplessly ignorant of. In times past, the deity had suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. This was winking at times of ignorance. Their own ways were the ways of death, in which they were hopeless and atheistic. To them, they were neither rewards nor punishments beyond the grave. By their wisdom of which they boasted, they knew not God. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and being left to themselves as devoid of understanding, they died and perished like the beasts. Brother Grocott says, and knowledge is the basis of resurrectional responsibility, and I quote, God did indeed judge them from time to time as nations or groups of people or even as individuals as His purpose at the time required, like the plagues on Egypt or the destruction of Babylon by the Medes and Persians or the humbling of Nebuchadnezzar's pride. But this had nothing to do with last day individual giving of account and final judgment, end of quote. As we said at the beginning, there are some Christadelphians who think that baptism makes a person responsible to resurrection and judgment. They treat baptism as a mutually agreed upon covenant that can be accepted or rejected, and not as a divine command. They view divine covenants in the human sense as an agreement between two parties for a specific purpose. However, this is not the correct understanding of divine covenants. The Hebrew word for covenant is berith. The Greek word is diatheke. These words are translated covenant in some places and law in other places. The use of the words signifies a divine decree which men have to accept and obey when understood. Therefore, Yahweh's covenants are set before men as commands, and men disobey them when they understand but reject them. When they willfully reject them, they become responsible to the deity and subject to the judgment. Let us look at a few examples. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Adam and Eve were given a command that they had to obey. They did not have the authority to choose whether to agree to obey the command. Brother Grocott says, "And knowledge is the basis of resurrectional responsibility." Paul says that they who sin without law shall perish without law, and they that sin under law shall be judged at the last day. When is a man without law, and when is he under law? Is a man under law when God has communicated a command directly to him to repent and be baptized, and he is fully aware of it? Or is he under law when he himself decides to start to obey that command? Who puts man under law, God or man himself? Who is the authority in the case? Note what this theory does to God's authority. If Adam had chosen not to accept God's jurisdiction and to completely defy God's commands, would he have escaped being called to account? Could he have said he was not under law? We believe the answer is obvious and inescapable. End of quote. Now let's look at a few other examples. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 13. Again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13. "And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone." And then turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1. "These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb." And then Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verses 8 through 10. "He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant." These verses show that divine covenant was a law that Israel had to obey. Yahweh never bargained with Israel, but issued his covenants as commands, expecting them to be followed. The proclamation of the gospel goes forth as a divine command. Now let's just consider a couple verses here. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And then Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Again, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a covenant, whether men consent to it or not, and is enforced as a command from a king. It points out God's chosen, selected, and determined plan entirely independent of man's consent. Brother Grocott writes, and knowledge is the basis of resurrectional responsibility, and I quote, God, through his people and his word, is commanding all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day, now very soon to come, when he will judge the world, when this command of his sovereign Lord reaches a man and is comprehended such, he is under law and will be called to account. End of quote. Yahweh's covenant is equivalent to a system of government fixed by a king and imposed on the people without consent between the two parties. Hence, Yahweh's covenants are absolute, and all who are placed under them must observe them. And let's look at Acts chapter 24. As another example. Acts chapter 24, verses 22 and then 24 and 25. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And then skip on down to verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix was a governor and had a good understanding of the gospel. We read in these verses that as Paul expounded upon the realities of Christ's judgment seat, that Felix trembled. Why did Felix tremble? After all, he was unbaptized and unrepentant, but very much enlightened. He shook because of personal judgment he would face at the last day. However, this was still not enough because he resisted. The attraction of the world proved too strong for him. Again, Brother Grocott says, and knowledge is the basis of resurrectional responsibility. But if Paul was just gently presenting the love and invitation of God as a free option Felix could ignore without being called to account, there was nothing in the message to terrify Felix. End of quote. We know that many have been called, but few will be chosen. And we can just turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. And it says, For many are called, but few are chosen. Of the chosen, some have sown bountifully, while others sparingly. Some have brought forth abundant fruit, while others have brought forth few fruit. To whom much has been given, much is required. No one can assess the abilities or merits of another. Likewise, no one knows how much knowledge a person has to have in order to be considered responsible. Only God knows the hearts and minds of men, and He alone knows what capacities and responsibilities a person has and what will be required of them. He knows who are sufficiently responsible to be called to judgment. All will be revealed at the judgment seat. And let's just look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 7. But Yahweh said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For Yahweh seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh on the heart. Christ is the instrument of divine judgment. And we'll just look at a few verses here in support of that. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And then just turn over to John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. And turning over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. But after thy hardness and penitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Well, let's skip down to verse 16. And the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And then flip over to Romans chapter 14. Verses 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And let's just look at a few more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And then we can skip over to 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Christ will judge every individual according to his deeds, whether good or bad. And we'll just consider a few more verses. I know some of the ones we just looked at touch upon that, but we'll consider a few more. Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34, verse 11. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. And then skipping over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? And then over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I, Yahweh, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. I'm just consider just a few more. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And let's skip over to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And then skipping over to Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And then one last one, the Apocalypse chapter 22. Apocalypse chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. The parables of Christ speak to this point. In all the following parables, which we'll look at in just a minute, he presents the fact that he will judge the responsible according to their individual merits. And there's just a few parables that we'd just like to read. We want to enumerate on them, but we'd just still like to look at them. The first one, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 26. Again, that's Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 26. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. And let's turn over to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll read verses 1 through 14. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then Mark chapter 13. Verses 34 through 37. Again, that's Mark chapter 13, verses 34 through 37. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And then over to Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 46. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 46. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So there's just a few parables. Now is not the time for the dividing of the wicked from the righteous. Both wait together with their merits or demerits until the appointed time to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ will be the appointed tribunal for handing out individual reward or condemnation. It will determine the standing of the called. It will form the boundary between exaltation and probation. It is where men's secrets are revealed and the wicked severed from the faithful. The wicked will be condemned and the just will be accepted and glorified. Let's look at two verses. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then skipping over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Men and women who are responsible to God will stand in the presence of Christ and have it determined whether they are worthy of receiving eternal life or deserving of corruption and death. Those who are alive at Christ's return and those who emerge from the grave will be gathered together before Christ for the purpose of judgment. They will not know how they will fare until the great King has spoken. It will depend on their account. It will be an individual reckoning. Those who are faithful and just will receive eternal life. And this is turned to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Those who have rejected the precepts of Christ, either by refusing baptism or failing to obey the truth, will experience condemnation and death. And in conclusion, I would like to quote from Brother Roberts in Christendom Astray, and I quote, We commend to the serious consideration of everyone interested the sobering fact that there is a day appointed when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, justifying the righteous and condemning the wicked. It is a fact that will encourage, strengthen, and sustain every person who, having been enlightened and joined to the brotherhood of Christ, is working with a single eye, as seeing him who is invisible. And it is a fact that visually realized will correct and purify those who, in a similar position, may be suffering themselves to be diverted from the path of truth and duty by consideration of a temporal nature. The record exhibited at the judgment seat is written now in the lives of those who will appear there. The one will be an exact reflex of the other. A fruitful stewardship sustained now will be honored then with praise, recognition, and promotion, while an opposite course will bring exposure, shame, condemnation, and death. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. End of quote.